In case you haven't heard me complain about it before, I've had several fun topics that I've been able to preach on this last year or so. I discussed how lucky we are as Christians when we're persecuted. And then I've discussed how as Christians we should express and embrace suffering. I was supposed to preach on sex, but I managed to get out of that one. And the one I'm preaching on today, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I used to joke with Todd, and I'm going to continue to do so, that he's in a preacher's group, and there's six or seven pastors, and they get together, and they put together a calendar. And it's got the text that they're going to preach on each week. And I used to, you know, think maybe they plan their vacations around certain passages they don't want to preach on. And now Todd's out of town this week, and then also his uncle, who he's another preacher, he's out of town this week too. So I'm thinking I may be right. I'm thinking they actually do that. But I'm just kidding, of course. Now, before we get into our passage, I want you to be thinking about a few things. I want you a few things on your mind as we start this passage. The first thing is think about the news you watch and the news you see on TV or listen to on the radio. For those who are on Facebook or anything else, think of your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed. Think of the talk you hear at school or at work. Think of the conversations you hear. Think about politics and all those political commercials that we love to hear over and over and over again this time of year. Think of the opinions we get from Hollywood and some of these other sources. Think about those. Think about what you hear. I know people that watch CNN, and they think the people that watch Fox are nuts, you know? And then I know people that watch Fox, and they think the people that watch CNN, they're just praying loony. But you get where I'm going. I mean, groups seem to be at each other's throats constantly, fighting for their side, their rights, and their preferences. It's all about me. And I want to ask, what about the church in America today? What about us? What about you? What about me? As we're living as Christians in the world, in our home life, and in our work life, and in our school life, and in our social circles, are we living that? It's about me. I want that to be on your mind as we go through this passage. Now, before we get into our actual passage for today, I want to just set up the context, especially for some visitors here. We've been in a study on the book of 1 Peter, and Peter wrote this to Christians who were living, as he called, strangers or exiles. And they weren't strangers or exiles as we think of today. They weren't aliens who picked up and moved and lived in a different place. They weren't born somewhere and moved there. These were considered exiles and strangers because they were Christians. They'd taken on Christ, but they were living in a culture that was hostile to Christianity. They were exiles and strangers because the earth was now only their temporary residence. They were now exiles because their eternal home was with Christ in heaven. Another point to remember today is that they lived in time of persecution. Christians were being persecuted, but rather than being asked to just blend in and go along with the culture, Peter calls them to stand up and stand out and live differently. Now, I want to look back at a few verses. Todd has read, it's been a couple weeks now, but Todd read these, but I feel that they're very appropriate to the discussion we're going to talk about today. And one of the things Peter told them, that others are watching and that their behavior, it should point to Christ. And Todd shared this passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that when they see slander, your slander as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day he visits. And Todd, he also talked about another one. Speaking in governments, he talked about, you know, a few weeks ago, we're supposed to submit to authorities, and not only the ones we agree with. He shared this passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. For it is by God that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. Submit as free people, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but as God's slaves. Honor everyone. Love the brothers and sisters. Fear God and honor the emperor. Todd also discussed how slaves were submit to masters. And he explained that like for us today, we can more equate that to bosses and employees. And he shared it wasn't just the nice bosses who treated you kindly. It was also to the cruel bosses. And so we read this passage in relation to that. In 1 Peter 2, verse 18, we read, "Household slaves, submit to your masters with all reverence, not only to the good and gentle ones, but also to the cruel." So please keep these passages in your mind as we continue. And remember that Peter wrote this letter, and he called them to use their freedom, their newfound freedom in Christ, to point to Christ, not for their own personal good, but for the good of others. They were submit to others not only out of reverence for man. That wasn't their purpose. It wasn't to honor man. Their purpose was to bring glory to God. And I would suggest that's applicable, all that I just discussed, to us today too. That's our purpose. Our relationships, they're to be God-honoring relationships. And so that's kind of our theme today. But we're going to start reading our main text today. It's going to be, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. We're just going to read it in little chunks. I'm reading out of the CSB, but everything's going to be on the screen there, so you'll have that. But let's look at our passage today. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. "In the same way, wives, submit to yourselves to your own husbands, so that even if some disobey the word, they may be won over without a word by the way their wives live when they observe your pure, reverent lives." So I got a good first point. First point of the day is, wives, submit to your husbands. That's what Peter calls it. So here we go. I see some smiles and some frowns, and like, I picked the wrong time to visit this church. I think I just got hotter too. I think the temperature just rose a few degrees. Maybe it's just me, but just kidding. It's funny. When I first knew that I was going to be preaching on this passage, you know, I read the first couple of verses, read it in chunks, and I thought, you know, Julie and I have been married 27 years. I'm going to try this out. So, you know, I started, you know, bam, 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 and, you know, you're going to, and now I'm on a cane. So now everybody's going to want to know, why is he on a cane? Well, now you know. So, I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. Julie and I, we're good. We're good. But you know, in our culture, the scripture I just read, people in our culture that aren't in the church, and some even in the church, they hear that, and they'll say that's chauvinistic. You know, that's archaic. That's misogynistic. That's demeaning. You know, but to our original audience, the people that Paul wrote to of the day, it wasn't a surprise. Submission, at least in the way we might think. In their culture, it was expected that the woman would submit because they held limited rights in society. Wives were often seen, they were seen as objects or property that existed for the pleasure of men. Often young women were forced to marry, and widows had to often remarry just to survive. But Christianity, it came and it changed this culture. It changed because the church began seeing the need of widows and orphans. You know, and Christianity was countercultural, and it promoted equality of women. We have passages of scripture that talk, you know, men and women are equal. You know, that's the thing. Later in our text in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, we read this in the instruction to the husbands, and we'll get to husbands, so don't worry, wives. I'm going to pick on everybody today. But later in our passage, Peter's addressing husbands, and he says, "Wives are co-heirs of the grace of life." And then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, Paul writes this. He says, "There is neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And then in the account of creation, we read this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And so the submission of wives, here, the call for wives to submit, it doesn't imply inferiority. A different function does not suggest anything about lesser beings. And I believe men and women are created differently, and they have different roles in relationship. Now, our society will want to tell you no, that it doesn't. But I believe God's Word is clear. I was talking to a friend about this sermon passage, and he said, look at TV shows from the 50s and 60s, and how the family, Leave It to Beaver, look how the family was set up. And now look at shows today, you know, Married with Children, you know, all these shows today, they've demeaned the role of a man as the head of the house. And they have changed our whole culture around. But I believe God intended, God created marriage. God created us all, and He created us all with a purpose. And I just think that's always under attack. But we just need to hold to God's Word. Now, there's another particular point in here that it's unique to this passage. It says, Peter particularly addresses wives who are married to an unbeliever. Peter's words suggest that gentleness and a reverent spirit that God desires will attract husbands in a way that words won't. So women could do this, and they could bring their husbands to the faith. One of my commentaries, it said this about Peter's call for wives to submit. It says, wives, do not submit to satisfy a husband's vanity or to promote his reputation. Neither do they submit to show how godly they are, nor to avoid conflict, nor to impress their neighbors, nor to manipulate their husbands, and not even because she thinks he is wise. She submits because of her relationship and trust in God. She honors God by submission. Now, a few points before we move on here. This call to submission is not absolute. As Todd talked about, if we're called to do something that's not against, that's against Scripture, don't do it. I mean, just don't. I mean, your relationship to your husband, it pales in comparison with your relationship with God. So don't ever compromise God's Word. Another out here. If you're a wife or even a girlfriend, but anything, and you're in a relationship where there's abuse, get out. Get help. Find help. That's not part of the submission that's calling here. And also, too, this is, I like this one for my daughter and the younger ladies, you know, this passage for all ladies. It doesn't say ladies, women, girls, submit to men. It doesn't say that. It says clearly, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. So if you're a girl and some guy tries to pull this stuff on you, just tell him it ain't happening. Just go on. That's not what God's Word says. It's not a guy and a girl thing and a man and a woman thing. This is a husband and wife thing. And lastly, I know there might be wives here who thinks I've done all this and it hasn't done me any good. But you know, the thing is here, you know, submission doesn't mean that you're going to get it back, you know, in kind. Much of the letter that Peter's talking about here, there's a whole lot of stuff, and they're saying, you do your part, and God'll do His part. And it may not work out for us in this lifetime, but that's the thing. We're exiles, we're strangers. This isn't our home. So look to your future home. We're going to move on. Next subject. The next point, and it's in our text, and the next point is that true beauty comes from within. And we're going to move on in our passage, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6. This is out of 1 Peter chapter 3. Don't let your beauty consist of outward things, like elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry, but rather what is inside the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also adorned themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You have become her children when you do what is good and do not fear any intimidation. Now again, this passage, it seems to go against everything we see in our culture. Watch TV, watch the commercials, pick up a magazine, or again, look at your social media feed. Our culture is obsessed with physical appearance. And ladies, I'm not just talking about you. Men are awful vain anymore. All these hair care things and cover-ups and this other stuff. I mean, it's not just the ladies here. And Peter, you know, an important part here, Peter, he's not saying that fixing your hair and doing your makeup and dressing is wrong. It's just this, that's where not your true beauty doesn't come from within. That's not what it's about. He said, and we shouldn't value people on their outward images and what the world declares as beautiful. We should look at people as God what declares and what God thinks is beautiful. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, Samuel is sent to anoint a king. And he was looking for what he thought and the world thought would be a strong leader. But it was a read, God didn't see beauty as we did. And we read this in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. So again, in our passage in this section, you know, Peter's telling them, don't look at the outside. Our behavior is what counts. That's what other people should be seeing, is our behavior. And an important point in this passage too, that I got, in verse 5 there, it talks about this, and it's another example of if it's not a superiority thing. It says, these women did not submit to their husbands because they believed their husbands were superior to them, intellectually or spiritually. They submitted to their husbands, but they were confident that God would reward them who put their trust in Him. They knew that their submission was God-honoring. Now, again, I've been talking about the ladies, and some of them may be aggravated at me, and some of the guys may be sitting up in their seats puffed up a little bit. But again, you're not getting off the hook, because we're addressed in here, and I'm going to be a lot tougher on us than I am. But yeah, this next husband is directed, this next passage is directed at the husbands. My next point is, husbands, respect and honor your wives. And this is where our text goes right to. In verse 7, we read this. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, we're called to honor and love our wives and treat them with respect. Now, Paul, or Peter only had one little verse here, but Paul talks about this same instruction to men, and he's got a little bit more here. And so I want to read this as well, and it's out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 28. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the water, washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, husbands, I really want you to think about how we're called to love our wives in these two passages. And I've asked myself this for the last couple of weeks working on this sermon, but I honestly want you to ask yourself this now as you sit here. Do you listen to your wife in an understanding way when she's sharing her thoughts to you? Do you listen? Do you actually listen? I know I fail at that. I fail at that. Do you show your wife honor? I mean, do you truly honor her and see her as the blessing that she is? Do you honor your wife? Do you love your wife like Christ loved the church? I don't think any of us have to question Christ's love for the church. But husbands, do you truly love your wife like the wives love the church? Would you sacrifice for her? And I know a lot of problems. We sometimes sacrifice in my life. If I had to lay down my life, sometimes I think that'd be easier than sacrificing the remote. or sacrificing where we go eat. You know, I just think sometimes, you know, and that's what Peter's talking about here. It's our rights, our possessions. Are we sacrificing for our wives? And again, I know I have failed miserably in all these, but that's just part of it. But we need to ask ourselves that, husbands. In our passage, we get another reason too. If that's not enough to love your wife because God said to, there's an additional reason. In verse 7, it tells us, it says, "Do all of this, honor your wives, so that your prayers may not be hindered." And I heard Kyle Adelman, he talked about this point in this passage this way. He said, "Husbands, you are married to one of God's daughters. Do you think you can treat her poorly and God still answers our prayers?" I don't. I think we're called as men, as husbands, to live differently. And I want to stop right here too. I want to speak to the unmarried ladies and young girls and everything in here. Read these passages about men. Read these passages about husbands. And when you go to date, when you start talking to boys, I want you to look at these passages. Don't pick, if you've got a guy who's bullying or mean or anything like that, send him away. Find a man who honors God's word there. And you'll find, hopefully, a good one. But again, back, I shared early in the passage that wife's submission may not equate to a loving husband. A wife may do all her part and still get a jerk for a husband. And the same applies to guys. I know some men, and at least from the outside appearance, they did everything. You know, they were good husbands, from the outside, and yet they weren't treated in kind by their wives. But again, this is God's Word, and He's giving us instruction, and He's telling us how to have a God-honoring relationship as a husband. And now for all the kids, any unmarried people or kids, I got to pick on everybody here. So now this one, this next point, it's to all believers. So if you're a believer in Christ, this one addresses you, whether you're a man or a woman, married or not. And that's, we're called as believers to bless. We're called to bless others, and not just when they bless us. We're going to read the rest of our passage today, and it's verses 8 through 12. "Finally, all of you, be like-minded and sympathetic. Love one another and be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing, since you were called for this, so that you may inherit a blessing. For the one who wants to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit, and let him turn away from evil and do what is good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do what is evil." Now I'm not sure about you, but verses 8 and 9 there, they're ones that I really ought to put in my memory verses and memorize. And verse 9, this word, you know, this simple, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult. Now, I want you to think about that in our culture today. Think about those words, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult. Look at our world and how people, groups react when they're wronged. When someone attacks their side, what do we see? Do we see... No, we see attacks back. And what about us? Think about us. And I am a reactive, defensive person. If you hit me, I'll try, but I may strike back. Now, usually God's blessed me with a pretty good conscience, and usually I'll apologize, but it may take a while. But my first inclination is to attack back. That's how we are. But we're called to be different. And one thing, especially in today's world, this is one thing I've talked about too in our culture. A lot of our wrongs, they're not things really done to us. A lot of them are just words. They're just words. And a lot of our words, thanks to our wired world and our web and our culture, a lot of the words, they're not even spoken words. They're words on a keyboard or on a phone, as we're on Facebook or something, and we're attacking. You ever see any of these Facebook or Twitter battles and people just the stuff that comes out? It's rough. But see, Peter tells us, don't respond like the world does. He says instead of retaliating with to evil and insult with the same, that we should give a blessing. Our natural response, and again, I'm the same, is to get even. But Jesus, in his teaching, in his practice, he responded to hostility often with grace. And here again, Peter challenges us to bless. Look at these words again in verse 8. Be like-minded and sympathetic. Love one another and be compassionate and humble. Now I'm going to ask you, like I've been asking myself for this whole time I've been looking at this passage. Are you like-minded? Do you pursue harmony? Do you pursue getting along? As long as it's within God's Word. But do you pursue, you know, at work? Are you the antagonist? Or are you the one who promotes getting along? Are you sympathetic? Do you weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn? Are you loving? Are you compassionate? Are you humble? That's a tough one sometimes. But Peter believed that those who had received a new life from God, and they've been transformed, and he's calling them to demonstrate that and live that out in their culture. You know, for us today, we should be living differently. At work, when someone's telling a bad joke, it's okay to, you know, hey guys, I could you not say that around me? You don't have to be mean about it or rude. A movie comes on TV, a bad scene comes on, so just say, I'm just not going to watch it. Kids in school, your friends start doing something you know is wrong. It's okay. It's not only okay, it's the right thing to do. God calls you to live differently. Be that example. Be that example that points to other people and that points to Christ. I don't live that way. I'm different. Honor God in your relationships. Now, when I first started, you know, this passage, this whole, you know, going back to verse 1 and the wives, you know, when I first, and I honestly, when I first read through this passage, you know, I thought, you know, how do I approach this passage in a culture where this is going to be offensive to so many women? So that was number one. But, you know, I've got God's Word to stand on. And if you have an issue with that, talk to Todd. He'll... Just kidding. Man, I like to throw Todd under the bus. But no, I mean, we have God's Word, and it goes both ways. So that was the first thing. So, okay, I'm like, okay, I got to, how do I approach this with women? And then I got to verse 7 and talking about husbands. And it really, I mean, honestly, it really convicted me of how poorly I can be as a husband. And I had to ask myself some tough questions, and I didn't like a lot of the answers. You know, and I come to the fact, you know, and this goes for all of us guys, you know, I believe if we love the wives like we're called to, and you know, for me more personally, if I loved, you know, Julie the way I ought to, then my marriage is going to be better. I'm gonna honor God in my relationship, and that's going to be better. And that's what God intended. But then the passage, I mean, I kept getting hammered here. Then the passage kept going, and I had to evaluate all my relationships against the instruction Peter gives here. And so, you know, as a brother, as a coworker, as a friend, as a father, and as a son, how am I doing out in the world in my relationships? Am I living a God-honoring way? And I didn't like all my answers, but I do know that Christ is still at work in me, and Christ can still be in work in us. We have to submit to His Spirit and to His calling, and He will transform us. But I just going through this passage, you know, I just started thinking, if I start living as God instructs in this passage, and if I stop worrying about my rights, my wants, and my needs, and start living in a way that makes me look like a stranger and exile in the country, and if I start living the life I'm called to, I'm going to be pointing to Christ. And really, as a Christian, that's my calling, is to be a little Christ, to reflect Christ to this world. So as we get ready to leave, I'm going to say this to you and I. These are challenges, whatever you want to say, take homes, whatever. But I'm just going to tell you, husbands and wives, honor God. Okay, honor God. Not honor necessarily honoring your spouse, but honor God by honoring each other. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Wives, honor your husbands. All of us, stop paying back evil for evil, but extend Christ's love. You talk about shocking somebody. When they do something wrong to you and you forgive them right away, that'll make them matter sometimes. But you talk about a way to really show Christ's love when you're insulted, to bless them back. And because here's the thing, this, it all boils down to, the world is watching. And as the church begins, I'm not going to say persecution here in the American church, but as the church is under attack culturally, I mean, not physically, we're not being anything else, but culturally the church is under attack. And that's not going to stop. It's going to come. But the world is watching us. And a lot of the time, they're watching for our reaction. Now, we stand on God's Word. We stand up for God's Word as it is, as it always was. But we also need to live differently in a culture that shows them it's not about me. It's about Christ. Our actions just speak so much more than our words do. I want to end with this passage of Scripture here. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. For you were called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. He did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When He was insulted, He did not insult in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but He entrusted Himself to the one who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on a tree, so that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. Christ honored God by submitting to the authorities of this world. But He did so for a purpose. And if we're a Christian, we know what that purpose is. Jesus gave up everything as a sacrifice for us to have a relationship with the Father. And if we're Christians and we claim to follow Christ, shouldn't we be willing to do the same? I call us all to honor God in all your relationships.